Right after such an uplifting hymn, inviting us further, deeper into the vision of Isaiah on the Holy Mount, the New Jerusalem, peace and justice dwell. And we have this good news Jesus proclaimed in the Gospel of Luke. Calamities, ecological crisis, persecution, and invitations to endure. It is a reality check. We are not there up the holy mountain of God yet. We may be heading there, but not yet. And in the meantime, dot, dot, dot. This sermon is about the dot, dot, dot. Friends, you may have heard this familiar quote: power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. John Delbert Acton, a 19th century historian in Britain, coined this well-known phrase in a letter to an Anglican bishop in 1887 concerning the moral problem of writing history about the Inquisition. He prefaced his letter with these words: presidents, kings, tyrants, I cannot accept your canon. Canon meaning a measuring stick. I cannot accept your measuring stick that we are to judge Pope and King unlike other men, with a favorable presumption that they did no wrong. If there is any presumption, it is the other way against holder of power, increasing as the power increases. We are living in a time of deja vu. As your former rector, Paul, who is not here today, but last Sunday, he warned us that the politics of the world today is not unlike the time in Europe during the pre-dawn of World War II, when fascism was on the rise. Let's remind ourselves the textbook definitions of fascism for the sake of post-World Wars generations like myself. A far-right authoritarian, an ultra-nationalistic political ideology that prioritized the nation above the individual, characterized by extreme nationalism, a single-party dictatorship, forcible suppressions of opposition, and often militarism, and a belief in national decline. It's disheartening to realize how many boxes we can tick looking at our world today. We are living in the times of tyrants who had regarded themselves above the law and exercised their authority as such over the easiest scapegoats, like in society, in order to insinuate a rule of fear. Jesus, our Master and our Lord, spoke boldly against such tyrants and the system that supports their proliferations and expansion in influence and authority. In his often referred to as little apocalypse, we just heard from the Gospel of Luke today, Jesus acknowledges that truly bad things will happen and that we should not be surprised when they do. These things are both inevitable and unpredictable. Close followers of Jesus will not be spared from the effect. Don't think your baptism or professing the name of Jesus will save you from the effects. This apocalyptic style of writings follows a pattern of warnings about calamities, followed by reassurance of God's provisions for the faithful. By the time Luke's text was written, the destructions of the second temple in Jerusalem, the one that King Herod built, had likely already occurred. So it is important to note that the text is not meant to be predictive as much as meaning-making for those who experienced it and for those who come after. So never fall into the temptations of reading apocalyptic literatures in the Bible as forecast. They are not trying to predict. They are trying to comfort people who are under persecutions to help them make meaning. Our gospel text today began with a vignette of rich people juxtaposed with a poor widow at the temple treasury. Chet Myers, political theologian and social justice activist, I deeply admired, noted that this story of the widow's mite and the little apocalypse were not there side by side by coincidence. The widow's mite story, unlike the way churches usually spin it, he argued that it's not about a stewardship moment on, look how even the poor give generously, and so do you. But instead of a story of commendation, he argued that it is Jesus' condemnations of how disparity dehumanizes the least. Then in response to his companions' cowering admirations of the edifices of the Second Temple, a glorious construction, infrastructure project by Herod the king, Jesus draw a direct connection between oppression and the eventual destructions of Judea's socio-political economic system. He commences with a sober warning. Watch out. It specifically counsels resistance to demands for loyalty made by powerful leaders, particularly their patriotic deceptions concerning their wars. They insist these will solve the nation's problem, which was, after all, an ancient trick resurrected most recently by Trump to justify attacks on domestic immigrants and Venezuelan fishermen, and by Netanyahu to slaughter Palestinians. Jesus counters that war cannot end conflict or bring justice. It just fuels the same old sorrows of empires. including large-scale environmental disruptions and ecological havocs. Such resistance, Myers argued, Jesus adds in a reality check, will inevitably bring suppressions and criminalizations. So what? What are we supposed to do in the meantime? Jesus warned us that there is really no such thing as getting through unscathed. The question is how people of faith are to respond and where we find our refuge and the spiritual posture to withstand the moment. So here are some suggestions based on Jesus' instructions. Jesus asked us to stand firm. By your endurance, you will gain your souls. Stand firm doesn't mean that we are standing alone. Recently, we have Shadiah Quitby, the Palestinian Christian theologians visiting St. Dunstan just a few weeks ago. In her book that she has contributed to, The Cross and the Olive Trees, different authors, mostly now living in the diaspora outside Palestine, share story of solidarity as displaced Palestinians, they find solidarity with indigenous people here in Canada. They find solidarity and support and inspirations from Guatemala women whom too have experienced genocide in the country some years ago. So despite this moment, we may feel that we are struggling alone. God has planted allies and friends with lived experience, bearing witness to a faith that cannot be extinguished by fear and power. Standing firm, trusting God. Trust is to be faithful, and we trust God because God, who loves us before we even begin to know how to love God, and is faithful to us. Bear witness, do not fear. Resist fascist-leaning policies and forces that support scapegoating those who are marginalized. Resist militarization, invitations to war. Live boldly as one who have died with Christ through your baptism already and has risen from the dead with Christ, trusting in the abiding presence of the Creator, who loved you and everyone in creation with an everlasting love into existence, through this life and beyond, who through Jesus lead us back to the heart of God, and who through the Holy Spirit continues to inspire, embolden, heal, and transform us into the likeness of Christ. May this be so in the meantime. Amen.